that is here, and we should have enough. If not, we'll get some more copies made. Folks, technology, such an interesting thing. Sister McCoy, she's stepping out, but she has the ability to send messages to my iPad while I'm preaching. You just don't know. Some of those sermons I'm preaching, it's because Sister McCoy's texting me, you need to say this, and you need to say no. She does text me every once in a while, but I don't read them. But she said, you need to sing. But anyway, we're going to sing maybe Sunday. But amen. We love Sister McCoy. She's headed out to teach our kids with kids' prayer. So, amen. I do want to read one passage of Scripture. If you would stand with me tonight, we're going to turn to John chapter 4 and verse 35. John chapter 4 and verse 35. Praise the Lord. Pray that everyone made it home safely Sunday. We got a little snowstorm that came in while we were having church. And the roads were icy, but it was beautiful, that's for sure. But looks like everybody made it home and made it back safely. Amen. John chapter 4, verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, are ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Welcome to First Steps. Turn to somebody next to you and say, welcome to First Steps. Praise the Lord. Now, nobody can frown. Nobody can be sad. Nobody can be depressed, because First Steps has to be the most exciting thing going on in our church in 2018. Okay? So turn to somebody and say, let me see you smile. Come on, show them those pearly whites. Hopefully you brushed your teeth. Amen, amen. Folks, I'm incredibly excited about this First Steps program, and I hope that by the end of tonight, you will be as well, because I feel like God has directed us in this direction for the year of 2018 for a very specific purpose, a very specific reason. Amen. I want to give you just a little introduction, and then we'll get to the handout in just a few moments. But for those of you that are new, or perhaps some of you that don't really remember, I'd like to relate to you again the story of God bringing our family to Springfield. It was early in 2015. We had pastored a church in Texas for 10 years, and God started dealing with my wife and I about our time there as pastor coming to an end. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, but we did actually consider another opportunity elsewhere, but we felt a no in our spirit, and so we turned it down. And it was right after that that God started preparing our hearts to leave. However, we struggled in our spirit because we knew that God had promised revival for the church there that we'd pastored, and we did not feel that we had seen the full breakthrough that God had promised. And it was at a church prayer meeting. Thank God for church prayer meetings. We've had some great ones here this past month. It was a church prayer meeting on Thursday, February 12th, 2015, that God spoke the scriptures that we read for our text tonight so very clearly to me. And I took comfort in the fact at that time that God told me, very specifically in that prayer meeting, God told me that we had sown seeds in that city and that someone else would come and they would reap the harvest. I also felt God tell me at that time that he was moving us somewhere else to reap a harvest that we had not fully sown personally. A short time after that, we did make our plans to leave and made those plans final. And God began opening doors for us to stay busy as an evangelist for several months. In fact, we had really quite a schedule that God had opened up, and connections were starting to be made, and during which time we were scheduled to preach at Harvest. And so Bishop spoke with us before we came, and he talked to us about considering the transition here, and so we began to pray and seek God's will. And of course, as you know, we came, and together we all had a wonderful time, and we continued the discussions with Bishop and with the board and with our council of elders. Soon, it was June. It was June, and things had progressed to where the church had planned a business meeting, and so we were all ready to proceed. But I asked God to show me without a shadow of a doubt. I wanted to know without a shadow of a doubt what his will was for my family and for our lives and our ministry. Because, you know, sometimes when everything's great and dandy, it's great and dandy. But when you're going through some low points, it's good to know you're in the will of God. Amen? And so I was sitting in a Texas camp meeting service in Lufkin, Texas, on Thursday, June 11, 2015. And God brought again the scriptures of our text to my attention. I turned and read them, and I was astounded at that point to see how perfectly they fit this situation and this transition that we were all considering. I was especially drawn to that first verse, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest." Sitting there in that camp meeting service, I don't even remember who was preaching because I was so touched and moved upon by God, and I was looking at these scriptures, and I looked back at my calendar where I had made a note during that prayer meeting service, and I about lost it there in the middle of that service, because when I saw it had been exactly 4 months to the very night since God spoke that scripture so very clearly to me. And I read those words as I had never read them before. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest." Amen. And God began to speak to us. I shared it with Bishop soon after that, and the rest is history. And we have absolutely fallen in love with Southwest Missouri and with the Ozarks and with the wonderful people of this church in this area. And so we are excited about what God is doing and what He is getting ready to do. And I feel like He is poised to bring a great revival to this church this year and beyond. It was last year, during the last part of the year of 2017, that God began to speak to me concerning this year. And over again, I felt Him speak to me that this year was to be a year of growth for our church. And I really feel that it is to be a growth in numbers. And so we began preparing and we began praying and seeking God and implementing new strategies. And God began dealing with me about the subject of others. And we are called to reach others. That is our purpose. That is what we're here for. That is why we exist. And so we began to relate those things to the church. And I did not even plan necessarily for it to be the theme of this year or of this spiritual emphasis month, but God just kept bringing it back to me, and I feel that this church is catching the vision of others. That is why we exist. And it's not just to have a social club where we come and we see our friends and we have a great time together, but no, there are those that are hurting. There are those that they're looking for a church that has truth. They're looking for a church that has the answers that they're searching so desperately for, and so that is what we are about. It is about others. Of course, we created our capital stewardship campaign last year called the Mission in Motion. If you have not found out what that is all about, feel free to visit the Mission in Motion promotion table out in the foyer. But we realized that we've got to do something to plan for growth. We've got to do something to plan for growth. We have a sanctuary that officially seats 275, but somehow You know, Pentecostal people, we like to have just a little more space than normal churches, I guess, have. And so, folks, it's hard to get 275 people in here comfortably. In fact, when we reach about 250, that's about it. So when we're over 200, you can tell. And so we began dealing with these plans and talking with the board and talking with architects and seeing what the need was. And we're still in that process of preparing plans and looking to the future, because we realize God has given us a burden to grow. And we can't grow much more than where we're at right now with these current facilities. And so the board and Bishop and myself have been looking at options. In fact, we're even considering towards the end of this year after summertime, perhaps looking even at two services on Sunday. And we'd have to look at all that, and we'd have to have staff and everything to run those things effectively. But we've got to do something to grow. We've got to prepare to grow. This January, we looked at the Four Tables series, which represents four principles that need to be a part of every church: love God, grow in faith, serve others, and go change the world. It's time to grow, Harvest. It's time for us to reach the world. God has given us a great commission, and we've got to hear the call of others. We've got to answer the call of others. It's more than just hearing the call, but oh, would there be someone that would go out into the highways and the byways? Would there be someone that would not only hear the call, but they would feel the call and they would answer the call with everything within them to reach others? Small groups. Why are we starting small groups? It's because we just, you know, want to get together and so we can be more popular with one another. No, it's not that. And I'm going to be leading a small group called Guns and Burgers. Guns and Burgers. And 1 week we're going to go eat burgers. And the next week we may go to the shooting range and shoot guns. And we may do some shooting safety. And in fact, if there's some interested, we may have an instructor come and teach us a concealed permit class. And so there's it's more than just guns and burgers, folks. Now, we're going to have fun, and we're going to have a great time of fellowship, but this is about growth. It's about growing personally. It's about growing together. It's about growing and having others come that might not come to a church service, but when they hear about guns and burgers, they'll be like, I'm in for that. In fact, I've already got one visitor, Brother Newsom, should be there, and we've got to get our times set and get them invited. So I'm just making an appeal. We don't have a full group. And so if anybody here wants to be part of Guns and Burgers, you need to let me know, okay? Why are we doing this? It's for growth. It's for growth. Now, I do want to mention just a little bit about our small groups. Brother Medling is our small group coordinator, and I appreciate his help. He is our coordinator, folks. And so we are working together, and of course, he keeps me apprised of everything, and we talk about it almost daily. But when he comes to you small group leaders and says, hey, we need this, or we need that, or we need to plan this, or folks, he's an extension of pastor here, okay? So we need your help. We want this to be a success. And I realize we may not have 100%, but I believe that there's many that they will be completely transformed through this small group experience. Amen. It doesn't take the place of our regular services, but this is an additional time. And in fact, if you go a few years back to where we changed our service times on Sunday, it was to plan for eventually having life groups or small groups. And many of you remember that. All right? So can I just go out and start a small group on my own? I just like to get a few guys together, and we're going to go down and we're going to do some fishing, and we're just going to talk about whatever we want to talk about or whoever we want to talk about. And I don't have to fill out those reports, and I don't have to read any scriptures. We're just going to have a good time together. Folks, no, that's not the plan. Okay? That's not the plan. These small groups have to be approved. Okay? So we are not asking you to just get together and start your own small group. Okay? Folks, we're going to have a plan. We're going to do it decently and in order. And so if you would like to start a small group that's not already scheduled, talk to Brother Medling. We'll see what to do, and we'll see if we can do that. But we do need this to be decently in an order, and each small group leader is going to fill out a real easy report on the website that says, hey, here's my name, here's the small group name, here's how many people we had, here's how many visitors we had. here's any special prayer request, and click, they send it in, and it's emailed into the office. And so we want to do this, but we don't want it to be a confusing thing. We don't want it to be a hindrance to the church. It's meant to be a blessing. And so this is something that I believe God is going to bless us through, and this is for growth. One of the strategies we began to implement several months ago has been first steps. First steps. What is first steps? First of all, I want to tell you, it is a program that is designed as the first level of discipleship for our church. In just a moment, we'll be going through this handout together, and we'll be going through week one, but this is a program designed as the first level of discipleship of our church. In order to transition new people, brand new visitors, in order to transition them from being a visitor to be a level one member of Harvest, we've got to get them connected. We've got to do discipleship training. We've got to pray with them. We've got to see who they are. We've got to disciple them and assimilate them into the church. So what is First Steps? It is a program to make those connections and pull people in. Folks, we have hundreds and hundreds of visitors that come every year, many that we don't even know for sure where they come from. They read about us on the internet, or they just pass by the church, or they heard about this church a while ago, and so they come, but many of those visitors never make the connection. Folks, we've got to make those connections. I believe that we have a responsibility for the souls that God sends through here, and we need to do our best to reach them and keep them for the kingdom of God. So that's what First Steps is. What is First Steps not? I tell you, it is not a full Bible college level of understanding and teaching. Okay? How many of you have been through Deeper Life? All right. Many, all of you have heard about Deeper Life, but this is not Deeper Life. We do not have a year. We do not have 6 months. We have literally 4 weeks. 4 weeks. But we're going to pray that in that 4 weeks, they can be exposed to the power of God. They can be exposed to our doctrine and not a Bible school level of understanding, but they're going to know that what we believe in one God. They're going to know about being filled with the Holy Ghost, being baptized, and they're going to hear about paying their tithes and offerings, and we're going to introduce those things. All right? So that's what First Steps is. It is a 4-week program designed to connect brand new people into the church, to assimilate them and get them connected with a ministry somewhere. Okay? Now, we're not going to be using these brand new people to teach Sunday school classes yet, or to preach or to sing on the platform or something like that. There's a process that goes through, okay? But this is designed to connect them and start them on that process. We want them to have a clear path of understanding, this is what I need to do to be a part of Harvest Ministries. If we're going to be prepared for growth, if we're going to keep those that God is going to send, then we have to have a plan for assimilating people into the church. And this is what First Steps is. Folks, I believe God has called us to grow. I believe God is preparing to send us a mighty influx of souls and of people. But if we don't have a plan, then why would God even send them to us? If we don't have a plan to take care of new babies, then why would He help us birth new babies in the Lord? I believe that when we prepare, that God is going to send the souls and send the people. In order for First Steps to be successful, this is going to take a great level of excitement. How many are excited tonight? Some of you are excited. Here's what ought to make you excited. You ought to think back to when you came into the church. Some of you weren't born into this. Some of you came into this. And I want you to remember how hard it is to get into a new church. How hard it is to kind of start meeting people. How hard it is to figure out the culture of the church and all of that. Folks, this is designed from the very start to help people know what our culture is, what we believe, what they need to do, how they can get connected, how they can make friends. This is going to be the most exciting thing for the future of our church. And I believe if you leaders and you people and you members would be excited about this program, that it's going to bleed over so that when visitors come to our church, there's going to be 3 or 4 people that say, hey, have you been to First Steps? Have you been to the pastor's dinner? Have you been to First Steps yet? Have you learned about our membership? Have you learned about everything that Harvest is doing to reach the world? Hey, you've got to go to First Steps today. Have you? Come on, we're going to sign you up right now. Okay? They can have all kinds of excitement and sell multi-level marketing, all of that. And some of you have been in that. Folks, I don't want you to have been more excited about selling some kind of pills or some kind of exercise program than you are about winning souls. This is the most important thing that there is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, it's hard for you to be excited about what you don't understand. So that's why we've spent the month of January going through First Steps with our ministry leaders. And now we're going to be going through it with our entire church. And so our goal is to hopefully start First Steps in the month of March and go through the full program with our new people at that time. So tonight, we are going to go through First Steps, okay? You've all received a handout here. There will be 4 weeks of these, okay? 4 weeks of these. And we'd love for you to keep track of these because I believe these will be meaningful to you. Once we get this program rolling, these will all be printed in a book like this, very professional, and it's going to be very nice and very classy. We want to do things with a spirit of excellence. So all that is coming. However, it was cost prohibitive to do that for service here tonight, and so we've provided everybody a handout. Okay, let's look at the handout. Some of you are surprised to see your picture on the handout, probably. All right. I'm going to teach this kind of as a blend of what we would teach our brand new people and kind of explaining some of these things along the way, okay? So I want you to just envision, okay, here's my first exposure to Harvest, all right? I want you to think like a visitor. It's good for us every once in a while to remember what it felt like to be a visitor. Because we've been in church so long, and even if it's just been a couple of weeks, now you're starting to figure out where the restroom is, and you're starting to figure out where to park, and what your favorite pew is, and where it's loud, and where it's quieter, and you're starting to figure all that stuff out, but brand new people, when they come in, they don't know anything. It's hard to go to a new church. Folks, I want to tell you, it's hard. You have to work at getting into a new church and getting assimilated and getting grounded into a new church. But this program is going to make it easy, we believe, okay? And so all of us today, I want us to remember what it means and feels like to be a brand new visitor. All right, so I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus said that in John chapter 10. And how many believe that? How many believe you have found life more abundantly? Thank God for the church. Thank God for salvation. Amen. Welcome to First Steps. Welcome to First Steps. We're glad that you've chosen to find out more about Harvest Ministries. Today is the basic introduction to what we value as a church family. Since we have members from many different church backgrounds, today is designed to clearly explain who we are and what we value. First Steps guides you to discover your purpose and live the life God created for you. First Steps is made up of four steps that equip you to follow Jesus, connect to the church, discover your purpose, and serve others. Step one, that's where we're at tonight, who we are, okay? Who Harvest is. Step one happens the first Sunday of every month in conjunction with the pastor's dinner. Folks, if you noticed grammar errors or spelling errors, you can just let us know this is a work in progress, okay? Today, you'll hear the Harvest story and find out what we're all about. At the end, you'll see what it takes to become a member of this amazing family. All right, step two, who you are. How many want to find out who I am? Amen? Discover your personality and gifts and see how they indicate your purpose in life and your best fit in ministry. We believe everyone was created with a God-given purpose. And one of the reasons we exist as a church is to help you discover that purpose and get plugged into it. Step two happens the second Sunday of every month. So the plan is, after the first Sunday of the month, the plan is to have a pastor's dinner where we invite all the visitors for that previous month or, you know, visitors even before that and those visitors that come that first Sunday of the month. We're going to invite them to come to the dinner, and we're going to have a special presentation talking about who we are as Harvest. Then the second, third, and fourth Sundays of the month, of every month, we'll have a class that will happen during morning manna session. That will be downstairs, and we're reorganizing some of the classrooms there. We're preparing one just to be our first steps room. So that's the plan. Step three, why you'll love it here. Amen. I hope that everyone here tonight loves it here at Harvest. But we don't want to keep it a secret just for us. Amen. We want to tell others why they would love it here. Explore the ministry focused of Harvest and find out what makes us unique. We use step three to answer some important questions that you're probably already asking. Step three happens the third Sunday of every month. Now in step three, it's kind of where the rubber meets the road. If they've come step one, and they've come to step two, and they've come to services and hit a few Wednesday nights there, by that third week, we're going to put the bait out and we're going to set the hook, okay? And we're going to, and I believe if they make it through that third week, I believe that they're going to be committed and that they're going to be future Harvest members. This happens the first or the third Sunday of every month. Step four, join the team. We want to get you connected to a team as quickly as possible, because there's nothing as fulfilling as making a difference in someone else's life. Connect to the opportunities available at Harvest Ministries to live out your purpose and serve others by using your gifts. Step four happens the fourth Sunday of every month. We're going to look at our story. If people are coming in, they need to know where we've come from. It's hard to tell them just in a few minutes, but they need to know that this church didn't just happen overnight. But it came through sacrifice, and it came through years of service, and it came through prayer, and it came through preaching that stood the test of time. And so we want to relate some of our story with them. There's some stories that we don't need to ever let die. There's some stories that people need to know to connect us back to the history of Harvest. And we're going to share a couple of those in this time, but some of those stories, we need to remember those things. Some of you have some of those stories of the old days when we didn't have room for Sunday school rooms, and so the sheets were spread across the room and divided, and you could hear all the kids loud. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Some of you were there, and you remember that. We need to share stories like that. Our story: Springfield has been blessed to have United Pentecostal Church as a positive part of city history since 1955. Harvest Ministries had called many places home over the years, beginning with the home of founding pastor Eugene McCarthy at 1458 East North Street. Between the years of 1956 and 1959, several facilities served as home for Harvest, including a small storefront and later a larger building at Scenic and Lauren. In 1959, the first Methodist church at Missouri and Madison was purchased. A baptistry was added, which proved to be a great blessing, as baptismal services had previously been conducted on the banks of the Sac River or in the James River near the bridge on South Highway 60. You can imagine how appreciated this was, especially during the cold winter months when ice sometimes had to be broken to accommodate the baptism service. That's a story I don't want us ever to forget. Can you imagine? There's some people, they wouldn't even think about getting baptized in a river, much less a frozen river. But there were some. There may be some here. I don't know. Is anybody here that you remember being baptized? Sister Elder, Sister Eddings, amen, Sister Bush. So there's some others here, Sister Gardner. You remember being baptized. Isn't that awesome? I want people to realize that there were some people that sacrificed. They paid a price because this gospel was so precious for them. And so these are some stories we don't ever need to forget. Reverend L.D. Fletcher became pastor in 1975 after the untimely death of Pastor McCarthy. In 1978, First United Pentecostal Church moved to 2516 West Mill Street and then to 901 North Prospect in 1981. Reverend Larry Eddings accepted the pastorate on December 1st of 1981 after the resignation of Pastor Fletcher. Pastor Eddings brought with him a dream and a vision for the growth and development. As part of this plan, First United Pentecostal Church became known as Harvest Ministries. In 2004, Harvest purchased its current campus at 3114 East Sunset Avenue. We are blessed with 22,500 square feet on 4.5 acres, including 18 classrooms, a 3,000 square foot fellowship hall, and a sanctuary that seats 275. Well, 250 to 275. In 2013, Pastor Eddings was elected as bishop, and Reverend Ken James was elected as pastor. Pastor James worked alongside Bishop Eddings to pursue Harvest's vision of reaching our city for Christ. In 2014, Pastor James resigned, and Bishop Eddings again assumed the pastoral duties. In 2015, Reverend Brian McCoy accepted the pastorate of Harvest Ministries. Pastor McCoy, his wife Denise, and their four children relocated to Springfield from Texas, where they had previously pastored for 10 years. Pastor McCoy graduated from Washington University in St. Louis in 1998 with a bachelor's degree in finance, after which he attended Texas Bible College. Yeah, some of you are trying to figure out how old I am there. Harvest celebrated their 60th anniversary. 60 years, their 60th anniversary in 2015. This celebration allowed the church to rejoice as they walked down the historical paths from their humble beginning to the place of current blessings. Harvest has many wonderful ministries, including children, youth, young adults, singles, young marriage, seniors, first impressions. If you don't know what first impression is, that includes everything from landscaping to greeters to ushers to people that are involved with welcoming people to the church and making sure their kids get to the right place. That's first impressions. Prayer, music, outreach, compassion, media. Today, several hundred people attend the weekend and midweek services or watch online. God is at work at Harvest. Okay, I debated about how many to put there, and because sometimes we're over 200, sometimes we're under 200. But now that we're online, we're over 200, folks, so we're going to claim it. Amen? We invite you to see for yourself all that God has to offer here as we build on our history and move forward endeavoring to greatly impact Southwest Missouri for Jesus Christ. Isn't it neat to see some of those stories? There's some of you here, perhaps you'd never heard some of those things, and so it's a blessing for us to be reminded of that. Let's look at our culture. The nice thing about this class is we can tell the brand new people what we want our culture to be. We can say, hey, this is our culture, this is what we believe in, and they'll just assimilate right in. They don't have to take 3 years to figure out what our culture is. Amen? But we can tell them, hey, we believe truth, we believe the Bible, we believe this is what it takes to be saved, and so it's very clear to them. Number one, and there is an answer key later on, but I'll go through these and tell you the answers. Harvest Ministries desires to be a 21st century New Testament church. Harvest Ministries desires to be a 21st century New Testament church. Now, folks, I've talked to you about this. We know that we are an apostolic church. We know that we preach the apostles' doctrine. We know that we stand for holiness. We know that we stand for the new birth experience that was in Acts chapter 2. We know that that's what we believe, and we can sum all of that up by saying we're apostolic. But for brand new people coming in, they have no clue what apostolic means, much less how even to say it. Okay, you've heard them. They've said all kinds of things trying to figure out how to say apostolic. So I believe the best way for us to explain that is this is a New Testament church. We believe exactly like the New Testament church believed. So we're an apostolic church, but for new people coming in, they've got to understand what that means. So I explain that to them. We are a 21st century New Testament church. Number two, we exist for others. We exist for others. I told us at the beginning of this year that if we were too selfish, that God was going to work on us this year, because this is going to be the year of others. And God's been working on me, and God's been working on all of us, and looking outward, looking beyond ourselves, looking at others, reaching others. I want brand new people that come into the church from the very start, I want them to be focused on others as well. I don't want them to think, well, I'm just going to come here and be selfish with the blessings of God and just enjoy all that God and Harvest has to offer. No, I want them to come in from the very beginning and to develop a heart of a servant, because this church is called to reach the lost. This church is called to transform Springfield and the surrounding area and to make an impact all over the world. And so from the very beginning, I want them to know this church exists for others. Others. Your story. Your story. We talked about our story as Harvest. We've talked about our culture. Where do all of us fit into that? So this is your story. The focus of Harvest Ministries is four-part. It's four-part. Number one, love God. I believe it all starts there. God loved us. He loved us enough that He robed Himself in flesh for us. He came to this earth. He bore the weight of our sins upon the cross. He died to set us free from sin. And I believe it all starts because we love Him because He first loved us. And so it all starts right at love. When we learn to love God, that's when we come into the church. That's when we're saved. That's when we're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, okay? When you've repented of your sins, when you've been baptized in Jesus' name, when you've been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, that is the salvation experience. But you sum all of that up, that comes from the love of God that made that possible. Number two, we grow in faith. We grow in faith. Amen. We're not supposed to just come in and we've been baptized and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and now that's it. No, we have a process of growth. We're just starting out, folks. If you've been in the church for 20 or 30 years, we're still supposed to be on a path of growth. Amen. We shouldn't be stagnant. We shouldn't just be comfortable with the status quo, but there should be a desire to grow spiritually, to grow in numbers. Amen. I believe that God has put us on a path of growth. So that's the second part of everyone's story. Grow in faith. Number three, serve others. Serve others. There's others again. It's going to keep coming up, folks. I want people to realize there is a fulfillment, there is a satisfaction, there is a reward that only comes from serving others. Amen. And I believe that there are people that they're looking to serve. They're just trying to find a place to do it. Well, we're going to show them truth. We're going to show them our doctrine. We're going to show them the love of God. And I believe that they're going to be an extension of this church and they're going to help us to reach our world. Number four, exactly that. Go change the world. Go change the world. In this four steps here, we can find every single one of our lives and we can see where we're at. I pray that everyone here has a love for God because you realize He loves you so much. I pray that you're on that track of growth and you're growing in faith and you're learning what it means to be a Christian. You're learning to mature in Christ. I pray that you have a heart to serve others. If not, I believe that God is going to put that burden upon this church, and I believe that we are going to change the world together. Praise the Lord. Does anybody believe that? Is anybody excited about that? That God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. He's got a great plan for this church. Amen. Let's look at this a little further. Love God. How do we do that? Well, the easiest way to start is attend weekend services. Attend weekend services. Our love for God is not confined to any one day of the week, but we express it publicly on Sundays as a family of believers. We set aside Sunday to emphasize our love for God through worship and community. At weekend services, what happens there? Well, first of all, we worship. We worship. Amen. We praise God in the sanctuary. Amen. Secondly, we connect. We connect with the body of Christ. Scripture says that only iron can sharpen the iron. Proverbs 27:17. So when we connect with one another, we grow stronger. Thirdly, we hear the preached word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Fourth, we pray together. We pray together. It's important to pray in private, but there's something altogether different when we pray together. In Acts chapter 4, when a group of believers gathered in a second floor room, the place was shaken by their prayers. Step two, grow in faith. How do we do that? Guess, attend midweek classes. Attend midweek classes. Harvest offers a comprehensive classes on Wednesday night for all ages. We believe in providing relevant, real-life teaching from the Bible to benefit us in life. You don't want to miss this weekly opportunity to grow in faith. All right? How else can we grow in faith? Well, here it comes. Join a small group. Join a small group. We've got all kinds of small groups, folks. Of course, there's Burgers and Guns. There's Mothers of Zion that meet together every Tuesday to pray. Amen. We've got a coffee small group. There's a moms and daughters small group and a basketball small group. Amen. There's I believe a men's breakfast small group. And amen. Amen. There's some youth small groups. There's going to be small groups looking at studying your ancestry. Folks, if you haven't signed up for a small group, you're missing out. This is going to be a great time. Amen. It's going to run for 3 months, February, March, and April. You're not committing your life to this, folks. You're just committing 3 months, okay? Most of them are starting this week. Some of them already started, and some of them are starting next week. So if you haven't signed up for a small group, make sure you do that. We want you to realize that we are all part of something much larger than ourselves, the kingdom of God. We also need to sense that we are impacting others in close relationships. In Acts 2, when the first church was born, and throughout the book of Acts, we see the power of meeting in small groups. Amen. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. So you see there, small groups and small meetings throughout the week. What are some reasons why small groups are important? Number one, small groups provide opportunities for Bible study. Bible study. I need people to strengthen and balance the Word of God in my life. Number two, fellowship. I need people who know the real me. Number three, prayer. I need people to pray for me personally. And every one of us can fit ourselves into that. Number four, accountability. I need people who will protect me and sometimes protect me from myself. Amen. Number five, outreach. I need people with whom I can share my story. These are all opportunities that are afforded us within a small group setting. All right, so that's growing in faith. Step three, serve others. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we complete first steps. Complete first steps. One another is found 59 times in the 27 books of the New Testament. Jesus wants us to know the responsibility we have one to another, that we should care for one another, that we should serve one another. But how? How do I do this? First Steps answers these questions. The First Steps journey is where you can discover the unique gifts that God has given you and how you can use those gifts to serve others. We're going to be looking at the giftings and the spiritual giftings and personality that God has given us, and then we're going to find the ministries and the places to serve that fit us. All right? Step four, go change the world. How do we do that? Folks, I want to give you an invitation tonight to join the dream team. I want you to join the dream team. Harvest Ministries has an incredible team of leaders who are changing our world through serving others. This team, this dream team of leaders, is truly an elite group of Christians who believe in excellence and are full of the Holy Spirit. Every person who serves in any of the many Harvest Ministries teams is part of one team. It's the dream team. Folks, I want people to know that this is a dream team, to be a part of something that's much larger than we are, that's making an impact not only in Springfield but around the world. We're reaching the lost. We're doing the work of the kingdom of God, and I want them to be so excited to be a part of this church. I want young people growing up saying, hey, I can't wait till I can be a part of the dream team, because I want to do something to change my world. I want new visitors that come to this church to realize that this is the greatest opportunity to serve others. Amen. Philippians 2 and 4, Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Tell me more. Tell me more. Seven ways the New Testament church revealed their love for God. Number one, they experienced the new birth. John 3 and 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Number two, they shared the gospel, that the kingdom of God has come, and through Jesus' death on the cross and through his resurrection, we can find salvation. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Number three, they anticipated the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Philippians 3 and 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Number four, a way that the New Testament church revealed their love for God. They lived differently than unbelievers. Folks, I want people to know, coming to the church, that there's a difference. Now, they're going to look around. They're going to pick up on this. They're going to start serving, and they're going to start realizing these people are a little different than the rest of the world, okay? I'm not ashamed of that. I'm excited about that. Amen? So we're going to tell them, hey, these people in the New Testament church, the ones that we're trying to strive to be like, they live differently than unbelievers. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number five, they believe Jesus is God. And without controversy, great is the mystery of God, of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Number six, they gathered together for worship. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, Acts 20 and 7. And they gathered in small groups during the week, Acts 20 and 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. All right. So let's look at the membership path. How can I be a member? How can I be a part of Harvest Ministries? Well, Harvest Ministries has three levels of membership. There's three levels of membership. Level one is the commitment level. All right, now this is a non-voting level of membership. In order to be qualified for level one membership, you must complete first steps. You must complete first steps. You must sign the membership commitment, which is shown below. And at the end of first steps, after the fourth week, you're going to be given an opportunity to become a level one member. Now, folks, we've had three levels of membership for years. And we focus primarily on level two and on level three, of course. Level one was kind of, well, when somebody said they want to come and be a part. We're going to focus and give them this path and say, here's what you've got to do. And we're going to just graft them right into this discipleship program. And I believe that God is going to help us bring people, and we're going to fit them into this program, and we're going to be discipling so many people that we're going to be so busy around here. There's not going to be time to gossip. There's not going to be time to start picking apart our brother or our sister. There's not going to be time to be grumbling and complaining because we're going to be so busy, Brother Neil, changing diapers and help and helping babies and feeding babies. The Word of God, the truth of God. Folks, that's what we're about. And I feel like God's about to pour it out on us, so we better get ready. Amen. We better learn how to teach that Bible study. We better learn how to disciple. Level two is the covenant level. And this is a non-voting level, but in order to be qualified for the covenant level, you must complete next steps. Next steps. All right? That is going to be our second level of discipleship. And you must sign a membership covenant. All of you that are level two members, you've signed that membership covenant. We'll use the same one. Level three will be the members of our incorporation, and these will be official voting members of the incorporation. In order to qualify for level three, you must complete deeper steps. All right, does that ring a bell? Does that ring a bell? And we're following these steps as God is going to lead us. In order to be a level three member, you must complete a membership application. Let's look at the level one membership commitment. What does it take to be committed as a level one member? Be in agreement with the values and ideas of Harvest Ministries presented in First Steps. I now feel led by the Holy Spirit to unite with the Harvest family as a level one member. In doing so, I commit myself to God and to other members to do the following. Number one, I will protect the unity of my church by following the pastor and leadership, by acting in love toward other members, by refusing to gossip, by resolving conflicts in a biblical manner. Romans 14 and 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Romans 15 and 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Hebrews 13 and 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Number two, I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for the pastor in leadership, by being faithful in my attendance to worship services, by being faithful in supporting the church with my finances, by inviting the unchurched to attend and welcoming those who visit. Folks, some of you are level two and level three members. We don't need to ever forget these principles. I pray that you pray for me as pastor. I pray that you pray for our leaders here at Harvest, that God would guide us, that God would give us direction, that God would let His anointing move and minister through us. So we're not ministering just out of our flesh, but it's the Holy Ghost that's working through us to reach lives and to change people through the power of God. Amen. I pray that you're faithful in attendance to worship services. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here on a Wednesday night. It's exciting to see our attendance numbers on Wednesday night as compared to Sundays. Don't you stop that, folks. There's many churches, they have so many on Sunday, and then they have about 50% on Wednesday night, but not this church. Our church attendance is strong. I'm so thankful for those of you that text or call and say, hey, Pastor, I'm not feeling good. I'm not going to make it to church tonight. Or, Pastor, we are going to go on our family vacation this week, and we're going to be out of town. And we understand there's vacations. We understand that people get sick. But when we don't know where people are, I want to tell you, it's kind of like sitting at the dinner table and mama's cooked dinner and everybody sits down and you've got your iced tea or your water, your Diet Coke for some of y'all. And you're ready to eat and you look around and you don't know where Johnny is. And you don't know where Susie is. It's not that you're not wanting them to eat dinner with their friends across town, but sometimes it's just good to know where people are. Amen? And so if somebody's sick, it makes this pastor feel so good. Hey, Pastor, I'm sick. We'll see you. Pray for me. And I can pray for them, and I know what's going on. Or, Pastor, we're going to be out of town this week, and I just want you to know, pray for us, and we'll see you next week. And I appreciate those of you that are so faithful in doing that. By being faithful and supporting the church with my finances. Last week we had our commitment service. And we talked about giving. We talked about what we believe in giving here as far as our tithing and our offerings and our sacrificial giving. Amen. If you did not get a chance to fill out that financial commitment form, that helps us in our budgeting. That helps us in our planning for this year. And if you would see Sister Brill will help you get a copy of that, and we ask that you turn that in if you were not able to do that last week. Amen? And I believe that every single one of us need to be inviting the unchurched to attend, and we all need to be welcoming those who visit. Amen? I want people, when they come to Harvest, I want them to feel the most friendly place and atmosphere that they've ever been in. And it's not only just the Holy Ghost, but it's the Holy Ghost through each and every one of us that reaches out to them and makes the connection with them and is friendly to them. Amen. I pray that nobody comes in this place and has to find a place to sit on their own, but hopefully somebody helps them to a seat, and hopefully there's two or three that come and shake their hand and introduce themselves, and hopefully there's some connect leaders that make a connection with them. Hopefully they go to the guest reception. Folks, it's opportunity after opportunity. We don't want to miss those opportunities. But the more connections we can make with people, the more chance we have of reaching them and letting God change their lives. A couple of scriptures that go along with this, Thessalonians 1 and 2, under the church. We give thanks to God always for you, all, making mention of you in prayers. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Leviticus 27:30, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Luke 14:23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. The third part of this level one church membership commitment, we're going to fulfill it by signing the level one commitment and by continuing to grow and mature in Christ. As I said, this is just the first steps. This is just the first steps. This is to get them on the train, folks. This is to point them in the right direction. There's many steps. There's next steps. There's deeper steps. We're going to take them this whole way of discipleship, but we've got to start somewhere, because I believe God is about to send this church a great influx of people, and we're going to be prepared when they come, all right? We don't want to miss this opportunity. We don't want to miss what God is about to do. Praise the Lord. We're going to stand in just a moment and pray. I do want to clear up one thing. I mentioned the illustration of sitting down to dinner and wondering where Johnny or Susie is, and saying it's not so much that we care that they go across town and eat with their friend. Sometimes people put pastor in an awkward position. I don't know if any of you are here tonight, but every once in a while somebody came and say, hey, pastor, would you mind, or how would you feel if I go across town and go to another church this weekend? I don't want to misrepresent my illustration to be talking about going across town to get your word for that week. Brother Roger, it puts me in an awkward position. And here's why. Folks, I know we're a part of an organization of churches. But can I be honest with you? I can't verify and I can't vouch for everything that goes on at different churches around, and I'm not naming any, but I can't verify all of that. I don't even know who has ethics and who doesn't. I know there's some that call me. I know some don't call. So when you ask me, pastor, can I go across town to go to such and such church? Or can I go to this service? Or can I go here to that evangelist? It puts me in an awkward position, because I don't want to be the bad guy. But on the other hand, God has called me to watch for your soul. I don't want to talk about people. I don't want to say anything about a certain church, about a pastor. I'm not here to do that, folks. And so generally, I'll tell them, well, you know, you do whatever you feel like, but I can't recommend you go to any other church. I believe you ought to be at Harvest. Amen. I believe you ought to be here. I believe that when we have service here, you ought to be here. I believe that when we have revival, you ought to make a point to be here. Now, if you have to work and you got other things going, I understand that. But I believe we ought to make the effort to be in service at the church that we call our home. Amen. I understand sometimes there's youth rallies and there are things like that that are sponsored by the church. But folks, hopefully you understand my response now. If you ever call me and say, pastor, do you care if I, okay, I just wanted to clear up my illustration there. I didn't mean that when it's time for dinner, you can go somewhere else. No, we need to be here in the house of God. This is our church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me tonight? Our Compassion Ministry has a fundraiser, and this fundraiser, we kicked it off a little bit, and then we got into the holiday season and all of that, but through our Compassion Ministry, they are making available some I Love My Church t-shirts. Now, I don't know, I think they've got different sizes. Hopefully they've got an extra, 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 whatever large, but they might have long sleeve and short sleeve, I don't know. But I want us all to take ownership of this church. Now, it's not our church. It's not my church. It's not Bishop's church. It's not your church. It's God's church. It is God's church. But on the other hand, it is our church. And God's called us here. And I believe God is going to open up the doors for us to be part of a place of ministry here. And God's going to help us find fulfillment and satisfaction as we serve. And so, take ownership of things. When you're walking along and you see a little bit of paper that somebody dropped, pick it up and throw it in the trash. If it's a Kleenex and you don't know who blew their nose on it, get you another Kleenex and pick it up and throw it in the trash. But let's take ownership of things. All right? We ought to love this place. We ought to love coming to the house of God. We ought to love being able to serve here in this place that God has called us to. We ought to love the programs and the events of this church. We ought to love the people of this church. Folks, I believe we're going to heaven together, hopefully. And hopefully we can get along here because we're going to be there a long, long time. I love my church. I love this place. I'm so thankful for it. I love each and every one of you. Praise the Lord. Amen. In closing, I want to relate a quote to you from Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon said, "Don't just throw the seed at the people, but grind it into flour, bake it into bread, and slice it for them." This quote was in a book that the pastor's ministry team, we've been reading, and the book's on preaching. Obviously, it's talking about the process of delivering a sermon and doing it, you know, the most effective way so it's best received of people. And, you know, I believe it's wise for ministers to be full of the Holy Ghost and to pray before they preach. Amen. But I also believe it's wise for ministers to prepare and to study and spend time in developing a sermon to use thoughtful and enlightening illustrations from the Word of God or from life that bring the Word alive and help people to relate to the things in the Bible. How does this relate to harvest? I believe we ought to do things with a spirit of excellence. When people come here, yes, I want to tell you what, this is the best church. And the Holy Ghost is here and it moves in our services and the power of God falls. And thank God for our music and thank God for our young people and thank God for all the different programs we've got going on here. But I want us to do everything with a spirit of excellence. I don't want us just to take a bag of seed and just throw it out there. I want us to take that seed and I want us to grind it into meal. I want us to prepare it into bread and do our best to deliver what God has given us, this treasure in earthen vessels. I want us to do our best to deliver it with a spirit of excellence so we do our best to reach the world. Amen. I believe we ought to go the extra mile. I believe we ought to go the extra mile. I mentioned in our division leader meeting the other day that in this process of time that where Lauren has been going through some times of sickness, and I appreciate all of you praying, but there's been some that just, you could tell they went the extra mile to help serve and to help care for us in the hospital medical system. Amen. It's one thing when you ask and you say, you know, can you show me where such and such is? And they say, oh, yeah, go down there, and down that hall and take a left or right and go up that elevator. It's another thing when someone says, hey, let me show you. And they take you down the hall and they take you around the corner and they point it out to you and they help you get, and you can feel the heart of a servant. Folks, we need to go the extra mile to love people. If somebody asks you in the foyer, they say, hey, you know, where's my class? Don't just say, well, go down there. Make sure they get there. Make sure they get to the restroom or wherever it is they're trying to find and help somebody. Amen. Young men, when you see an elder and they're coming in and it's a little rainy or it's a little icy out there, just kind of walk along with them. Make sure they're okay. All right? Let's go the extra mile. And I believe that we need to train our leaders. We need to train our young people. We need to train our children from an early age to be a servant, to go the extra mile, to do things with a spirit of excellence. Amen. God is calling us. He has given us a vision for growth. He's given us a vision for revival. That vision has been preached here for years. But I believe that the sacrifice and all of the efforts and all of the prayer and all of that sweat and toil and tears that have gone into getting us to this place now, there's been a whole lot of seed that's been sown. But God's saying, right now I'm about to bring the harvest. I'm about to pour out my spirit in a mighty way. You better get ready, folks. Come on, you better get ready. You better get that Bible study chart out. You better start reading the Word of God. You better be prayed up. Because right now, I believe God is saying, I'm about to pour out my spirit. And I'm preparing this church for the great harvest of souls. Amen. Would you reach out to the Lord right now and say, God, help us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you prepare this church for what you're about to do. I pray, God, that you would minister through every heart and through every person. I pray, Lord, that you would touch every young person. Let there be a burden upon their heart for others. I pray for every adult in this house. I pray, God, that you would let there be a passion. Let there be a passion for souls, oh God. I pray that you will let the culture of harvest. Lord, don't let it be about selfishness. Don't let it be about us. But God, let it be about others. Let it be about the souls of this city. The souls of this surrounding area that you have called us to reach. I pray that your anointing would be upon every service, God. I pray that you will let there be deliverance in our services, God. Let chains of darkness be broken. Lord, I pray that you will let lives be changed when people come in under the bondage of sin. I pray that you would open their eyes, help them to see the oneness of God, help them to see the salvation plan in the book of Acts, God. I pray that you'd help us to reach them for you. God, help us to do the work that you've called us to do. I pray that you let there be an excitement. I pray that you will let there be an excitement that goes through this church because we are about to see the harvest that you have promised for years and years and years. And God, you're bringing it to pass. Hallelujah. I pray that you bless our church with a great spirit of unity, Lord. I realize there's different opinions and there's different desires and there's different preferences. But God, we're not going to focus on the differences. We're going to focus on the things that are true. We're going to focus on the Word of God. We're going to focus on the doctrine that we believe. We're going to focus on reaching the lost. That's the most important thing, is reaching for others and doing this great commission you've called us to do. We praise you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. You don't want to miss next week. You don't want to miss next week. Folks, we're going to start talking about your giftings. We're going to talk about your personalities and all those different things. We're going to start getting ready for ministry. Amen. God bless you. Have a great night. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for a small group, see Brother Medling. We've got sign-up sheets. Amen. You need to be a part of that.